This is a production of Cornell University.
All right. Seems like we have enough of the critical mass of the essay to begin. Let's start with the roll call, please.
Okay. Lila Abed El-Majid.
Here.
Morgan Baker. Genevieve Bensaw.
Here.
Kayla Butler.
Here.
Carlo Castillo.
Okay. How would you
Uchenna Chukwukere.
Here.
Lucy Contreras.
Here.
Annette Gleiberman.
Here.
Sonu Kapoor.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Here.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano.
Here.
Estefania Perez.
Here.
Tomas Renning.
Here.
Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Mardia Chardot. Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Gotcha. And then Kurt convert that. Can I convert that?
Valeria that Valencia.
Convert that into
the equation. Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Moldai.
Here.
Valentina Shu.
Used.
Yohan Yuan. Raquel Zohar.
Here.
Lucas Zimpano.
Here.
Samuel Z.
Here.
Okay. And Kat Wong.
Cool. Here. Could I get a count of members present, please?
21 members present.
Perfect. Thank you.
I'm here.
Oh, Claire is here, and Carlo is also here.
I'm also here.
Thank you, Carlo. Does that change our member count?
That changes it to 22.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much. All right, so the time is 4:50. We have 22 members present. I'm officially calling this meeting to order. I'm going to begin with our traditional land acknowledgement. Let's go. Okay. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayugono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayugono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayugono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayugono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Thank you, everyone. I would like to remind everyone of a couple of ground rules, seeing as we have a lot of guests today. Please don't speak unless you are invited to speak by the chair, which is either going to be myself or Noah Watson, our vice president. Also, just don't unmute yourself. You're not really allowed to do that. The chat has been disabled. Go ahead to, I think you're allowed to message the hosts privately, but if you all start doing that, I won't be able to read everyone's messages. So if you have a question, feel free to put your hand up using the raise hand function on Zoom. And also, please name yourself with your real names, as in the name that you're recognized by. A lot of the things that we say at this meeting, we have to note who is speaking and saying what with, people's identities. So make sure that your name on Zoom reflects who you are. Thanks, everyone. Okay. I want to quickly take a moment just to recognize that this has been a hard semester. I recently read the Cornell Sun article that was published today that talked about the death of a recent student, Philip. It was a really moving article, and it just reminded me of how many losses we've had this year. So I wanted us all to take a moment of silence for the students that we've lost, Philip, Sean, the students from last semester as well. So if you could all just take a moment of silence for them in respect of their lives and their families. I know this has been a devastating time for a lot of people. Alrighty, thank you everyone. I'm going to pass it off to EVP Watson for, I think, the announcements and presentations part of the agenda.
Cool. So first up on announcements and presentations, we have a quick announcement from our Director of Elections, Patrick, if you'd like to come and mute yourself.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick Mailer. I'm the Director of Elections. I am very happy to share with you all that as of last night, everything relating to elections is entirely done. With that, Noah, would you be able to give me screen sharing so I could just share a very brief presentation, or Kat or Wendy, whoever?
Sure.
I'm going to be upfront and say that I'm presenting a half report and that I intend to do a full report into literally everything we've done with elections, but this is sort of what I could put together today to share with you all. So very quickly, I know there's a lot to go through today. Would like to congratulate your new student assembly. Everybody listed here is your newly elected representatives. I know we're going to do something a little later that brings them into the official assembly, but congratulations to all of you, at least from me. The separation on the left and right here is very on purpose, and I'll get to it later, but everything on the left was a contested race, and everything on the right was an uncontested race. So just a couple of statistics. Compared to last year, we had twice as many competitive races and twice as many competitive seats. That means we had, I think it was 11 competitive races as opposed to 5 or 6 from last semester, when the fall when we did everything. For the first time, I did a research project for Coriel's class into sort of essay history of elections. And I believe this is the first time that we will not need to have a special election in the fall because every seat will be filled, at least in the past 5 years, which is very exciting. And just a general note was we had a pretty massive shift away from incumbents returning. So, you know, we'd like to welcome especially all the people who are new to the assembly and who haven't been here before and are becoming part of the assembly for the first time. In regards to turnout, that was the thing I promised when I said, if you all pick me as director, we will see an increase in turnout. We saw a 33% increase in turnout. I'm sure it may not seem like a whole lot going from 16 to 23%, but ask any elections person in the entire country and they'll tell you that is a massive increase to see so many people come out and participate. It's also the first year that grad students are not included in this count. So in years past, if you looked at 2019, you'll probably see a higher turnout rate. That turnout rate included the trustee elections, which although we didn't run, I didn't personally run the trustee elections in years past. All students could vote for the student trustees. So professional and grad students could vote for the undergraduate student trustee. So that 30-something percent you see from 2019 includes every grad, law, medical, veterinary, and professional student as well. So this is really a sort of clean slate to look towards for the rest of the decade. And just a couple of direct percentages, because very happy to see some high turnout numbers. ILR, you know, had our biggest turnout with 38%. Dyson pushing 33%. ANS around 24%. And all the other colleges were uncontested, so we don't have numbers for those. But I'm hoping to go into the data and figure out what they are a little later down the road so we can figure out what we need to work on more in the future. A couple of things, because I know you are going to ask me about challenges and explanations. So the elections committee dealt with a lot of challenges. We dressed with all of them as quickly as we could, as we received them. We went through the full procedure. We did everything as outlined in the election law. The committee did decide to disqualify a couple of candidates who appealed to the JCC. The JCC reviewed everything, and they upheld a disqualification for presidential candidate. If you're going to ask me any questions about the challenge or any of the members of the committee about the challenge, the short answer is we cannot. The challenges are very intentionally confidential, a lot of them relating to privacy concerns, quite frankly. And so current election law says that all of it stays confidential. It's going to stay confidential. And just why was there a delay? I know all the results sort of came out, I believe, on Monday for everything but those two races, but we had hearings on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday night. And then I spent all of Tuesday and Wednesday writing the reports. The JCC's dealt with it Wednesday and this morning. And so everything is now all set. And just with that, we learned in all the challenges that there's a lot of things we'd like to change. A lot of things could be a little procedurally quicker. A lot of things we could definitely amend. And so we're going to be doing just a general, or I'm going to be working at least this summer on sort of a general overhaul of the election law. Ambiguous terms was the big thing we learned. Moving some of that gray area is what we're going to work to do. I know there was a couple discrepancies about past essay resolutions being properly incorporated into the election law. I'm going to work to devise some sort of a system where we ensure that anything that is passed by previous assemblies is made sure to enact it in the election law for the next semester. We're going to have a timeline for JCCs. Most of the JCC did a phenomenal job of getting everything back very timely, but we might not have a JCC in the future who's as responsive, so we want to make sure that there's a timeline for them. or hopefully, seeing as the CDC has bunched the rules today, have in-person stuff next semester. So we will edit some stuff to include that. And then finally, just having a more established part in the language that talks about GOTV getting out the vote and the administrative role of the DOE. So if there are changes you'd like to see to election law, please tell me. My email is there. I'm going to be sending lots of notifications in the Slack and general social media stuff once the semester ends and I get around to it. But the timeline overall is June to August. I'm hoping to work with as many people who'd like to work with me to get the election law overhauled. And then starting ideally the first or second meeting in the fall, everything will be out the gate and we'll start dealing with the freshmen and transfer reps then. But thank
awesome.
You. No worries. I wanted to just send a very quick thank you to the entire elections committee, especially the office of the assemblies, for helping with everything, Cornell Votes for helping with getting out the vote. Every single one of you who encouraged turnout and all the organizations that you were part of that encouraged turnout, thank you. All of you who ran, thank you. And most importantly, the 23% of you who did vote, thank you so much. You know, you make this job very fulfilling for myself, and I'm very happy to see everything that we did. And with that, I'm all done and pass it back to Noah.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Just everybody, in the interest of time today, we have a lot of things on our agenda, and I've heard that other things would be motioned to be added to the agenda. So for announcements and presentations, we are not going to be taking any questions or comments. So moving on, we are going to introduce the class of 2021 convocation chair, Hassan. If you are here, you could unmute yourself and share.
Hello, everyone. So as you all may know, the senior convocation committee has been working since the start of the fall semester to finalize a speaker for the class of 2021's convocation. A couple of weeks ago, we were able to secure a speaker, and contracts and everything have been finalized. So we're in a position now to tell all of you who that speaker is. So I'll get right into it. So this year's speaker is an author whose writing appears in Best American Mystery Stories 2014, Best American Short Stories 2012, Best Sex Writing 2012, A Public Space, McSweeney's, Tin House, Oxford American, American Short Fiction, Virginia Quarterly Review, and many other publications. She is a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times, the author of the books IET, An Untamed State, the New York Times best-selling Bad Feminist, the nationally best-selling Difficult Women, and the New York Times best-selling Hunger. She is also the author of The World of Wakanda from Marvel. This year's convocation speaker is Roxane Gay. So I hope that all of the seniors here will be excited by that. The convocation committee has worked very hard to secure, to sort of get to this point in the process, and we hope that you all agree with us in that Roxane Gay, in her work and in her writing and who she is as a person, embodies all that our class is. So and I want to just once again acknowledge all the work that my committee has done. That's all for me.
Thank you so much for sharing, Hassan. Yep, we appreciate all the work your committee's been doing. Like I said before, we won't be taking any questions or comments, just in the interest of time. Moving on, we have two more things on our agenda. So I first want to introduce our newly elected student trustee, Salam.
I'm a little sick, but hi everyone. So me and Estefania, we were working on this resolution because we were acknowledging the fact that current first year students, when we transition back to in-person next semester, it's going to be very difficult because of the fact that they are at a disadvantage. They didn't get to have in-person and really understand campus life this year, and the fact they didn't really have an orientation week. So we were going to make a resolution just saying that we support the fact that they should have their own version of orientation week, class of 2024, and non-traditional students, first year students from this current year. But it turns out that I just wanted to inform everyone, the orientation steering committee, they created a working committee to provide current first year students, so the sophomores next year, to have events during the first week of school. So if you know any current first year students class of 2024 and they're very nervous about next year, please let everyone know that there are going to be events on the way for their own version of orientation week next year that's specialized just for them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that great initiative, Salam. Again, no questions or comments today. Moving on, we have the last one, and it is a statement. I'm going to ask Layla to come and introduce it, I think.
Before we get into that, I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Eid Mubarak to all who celebrate. And I think Uche is starting to read.
Yes.
So I think, Noah, if you can share your screen, that would be great.
Let me just 1 second. I have to find. It's in the box. The statement.
I emailed it to you.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Let me just share my screen. Can you guys see? Can everyone see? Okay.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and read the statement. We, the undersigned, are writing to condemn the violent and vicious acts of terrorism, ethnic cleansing, and settler colonialism that have been plaguing Palestinians for years, and specifically regarding recent events. During this holy month of Ramadan, Palestinians have faced illegal evictions, been forcibly removed from their homes, attacked by military-trained soldiers and police for protesting, violently attacked in mosque, and killed. So far, 84 Palestinians have been killed in airstrikes on Gaza. Mosques full of Muslims observing the last 10 days of Ramadan in solitude were attacked with grenades and ransacked. Ramadan is the most sacred month of the Islamic year, one that many Muslims around the globe look forward to. It is a month where Muslims fast from dawn to sunset and devote time for spiritual reflection and self-improvement. The last 10 days are the most sacred, and many Muslims spend that time at a mosque, taking off from work and all responsibilities. In the past couple of days, Palestinians have had to endure fighting for their life and homes instead of spending that time with their families observing Ramadan. Furthermore, today marks Eid al-Fitr, a holy day marking the end of Ramadan, and on such a holy day, a new invasion of Gaza is being considered. This is unacceptable and immoral and must be condemned.
Uche, I can take over for the next part. We call on the university and our campus community to stop equivocating both sides in the ongoing violence. There is a clear asymmetry of power between Israel, which receives billions in American military aid every year, and Palestine, and we cannot continue pretending that this is a conflict with faults lying equally on both sides. We also point to the fact that all students must have solidarity for the plight of the Palestinian people. Palestinians are subject to police brutality, health inequities, and settler colonialism, the same struggles that oppressed peoples worldwide and in the United States suffer from. The struggle for Palestinian rights is also a struggle for Black lives, for indigenous rights, a struggle for justice for everyone. Thus, we call on the university to act immediately, to end Cornell's relationship with Technion and Haifa Israel, end any ongoing relationship between CUPD and Israel, put out a university administration statement in defense of Palestinian rights, and reconsider whether investments in Israel are moral, considering recent decisions from Human Rights Watch, among others.
The assembly challenges us all to ask ourselves, if these attacks had happened in a church during Christmas, would we stay silent? If it were any other group of people being forcibly removed from their homes and made homeless, would we stay silent? The defining silence surrounding these pertinent issues is alarming. We must do better in protecting and supporting our Palestinian students. We must not neglect them in a time of need. Let us not normalize the dehumanization that is spreading rampant around our globe.
And just a reminder, we're not taking any questions or debating whether or not people deserve human rights. This is a statement. It's the voice of the people undersigned and a bunch of other orgs as well. And it's not a resolution. We're not voting on this. So this is just being put out as our words. Thank you.
Okay, just like everything else on our announcements and presentations today, there will be no questions or comments on this.
Could you put the link in the chat? Sorry to interrupt. That's what I was going to ask to this.
Yeah, sure, Lucas. It's in the box. When I'm done with my part, I can send it in the chat.
Sorry to interrupt on that.
Yeah, of course. And with that, I think we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to swear in the members of the new assembly.
Thank you, Noah. And just to recap what Noah did say, announcements and presentations are technically over now as we're moving into the swearing in. Do we have all of our new SA members coming in? Please raise your hand if you're going to be seated next year. So I know that you're here. Just to make sure we have a critical mass of enough people present. Alrighty. Looks like we have a good majority. Annalie, are you here?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Welcome, President-elect Ananye. I will be swearing in Annalie officially, and then Annalie will swear in her new assembly for next year. Technically, this year's assembly's term does not end until June 1st, so I'll be chairing the rest of this meeting, but this is just to signal the beginning of the transition. Alrighty, so Annalie, what you're going to do is you're going to raise your left hand and repeat after me. There's also, I sent out a copy of just Annalie right now, and then we're doing the rest of the essay after Annalie is done being sworn in. Okay, so Annalie, raise your left hand, repeat after me. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me.
In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me.
As well as my personal sense of honor.
As well as my personal sense of honor.
I, Kat Huang, insert your name here.
I, Annalie Ananye,
do solemnly affirm on this 8th day in October, on this 13th day of May in the year 2021.
Do solemnly affirm on this 13th day of May in the year 2021.
To fulfill my responsibilities as student elected representative.
To fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
In a process where I'm guided by truth and fairness.
In a process where I'm guided by truth and fairness.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals.
If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process.
If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process.
I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
Address the issues of my fellow students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students.
And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students.
Wonderful. Congratulations, President Ananye. Now feel free to swear in the rest of your assembly, just mirroring what I just did right now.
Okay, everyone, can you raise your left hands? And then repeat after me. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me.
In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me.
In view of the trust the Cornell community has invested in me.
As well as my personal sense of honor.
As well as my personal sense of honor.
I, insert your name.
I, Everest Diane.
I, Adele Williams.
Do solemnly affirm on this 13th day of May in the year 2021.
Solemnly affirm on this 13th day of May in the year 2021.
To fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals.
I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals.
If a conflict of interest arises,
Conflict of interest arises.
I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body.
Address
the issues of my fellow students. And strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Congratulations.
Wonderful. Congratulations to the incoming student assembly. I'm very proud of all of you. And congratulations to all of you who ran campaigns, fair and well done campaigns. Congrats. Alrighty. Okay. And also, my time throwing in my assembly was just as messy as this one. Not that it was messy, but it was a little bit chaotic. I promise it's much more fun in person, which you will gladly be able to have in the fall. So again, once again, congratulations. I think going to open mic, I don't know if Noah's still here.
Yeah, I am. I just have a hard stop at 5:20. So after 5:20, should there still be more people, I will pass it off to our new EVP, Genevieve Bensasso. With that, we're going to move into open mic. So if any members of the community wish to speak on any of the issues here, we're going to set a 45-second timer for each person. Then after that, like after the 45 seconds, we're just going to mute. Doesn't matter which side you're on. We just have to keep some order here. So we're going to start taking a speakers list. So first off, seems there's only one person. And it's Tomas Reyune. Let me just get my timer ready. Or if Kat, maybe you could help me with this. If you could help me mute them at 45 sure. seconds, that'd be really great.
I can go ahead and do my timer. Awesome. I will signal like this just for 10 seconds left and then five seconds left.
Awesome. And then we will just like also just mute the person speaking manually on here. Okay. So Tomas, I think if Kat's ready.
Yes, whenever you're ready.
So I just want to say, as the current LGBTQIA+ liaison at large, I would like to condemn the election of Dylan Iceman to the seat for next year. He has been openly transphobic, Islamophobic, and racist. As the first openly trans person to ever hold the seat, I will be working with the LGBT Resource Center and other trans groups on campus to get him removed by the end of the summer. And hopefully y'all will elect someone who actually has the interest of all LGBT people at heart. And this is not for debate. We have screenshots and you're pretty active on TikTok being a racist and a transphobe. So I just wanted to put that out there. I also think it says a lot about someone that they blocked the current LGBT rep and were not endorsed by Haven, which is the LGBT org on campus. Thank you, Kat. Bye, y'all.
Next up, we have Lucas Smith. Again, we will be muting people after 45 seconds. So.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to say thank you first, I guess, to the Office of Assemblies. I think the agendas have been looking really awesome, just the information we've been receiving. But in the same light, did want to just encourage next year's assembly and kind of the leadership to focus on getting agendas out in a reasonable time. I know we've got a lot on the agenda tonight, and it's just kind of tough when we have less than 40 minutes to digest a lot. So, but thank you to the Office of Assemblies and everybody for working hard to put stuff together.
Next up, we have Irene.
Hi, everyone. My name is Irene Pertsouf, and as the president of Cornell Alliance for Israel, I want to bring attention to the many factual inaccuracies, discriminatory and anti-Semitic rhetoric being spread in the statement read at the beginning of this meeting. In the past few days, over 1,750 rockets have been fired at Hamas by Hamas at Israel. Over a third of those rockets have landed back on Gaza. Hamas cares more about killing Jews than about protecting its own people. The proposed statement mentions none of this. Hamas and Gaza have one goal, death to all Jews. Israel has an unequivocal right to defend itself. For thousands of years, Jews lacked the ability to defend themselves and have been murdered as a result. We will not allow it to happen again today. Anyone who does not recognize the right of Israel to exist and to protect itself is anti-Semitic. The statement is unacceptable. A centuries-long compliance.
That was 45 seconds. I do apologize, but again, you have to be strict at this time. Thank you, Noah.
Okay, next up we have Uche, 45 seconds.
Yeah, I also wanted to commend Tomas for bringing up the topic that he brought up earlier. As one of the former LGBTQ+ reps, I also want to condemn Dylan Iceman as well, too. It's pretty disgusting seeing an individual who's supposed to represent one of the most marginalized communities on this campus posting the rhetoric that he was posting on his Instagram page, on his TikTok, that was openly transphobic, racist, and misogynistic. And so I highly encourage this next assembly to remove him as soon as possible and put in a rep that actually cares about the queer community and understands the intersectionality that comes with it and understands that his statements don't only just affect one group of people, it affects all queer people, marginalized queer people in our community. So, yeah.
Okay, moving on, we have Andrea.
Just very quick to reiterate what Lucas said, I also think that agenda should be sent it before. So just like, you know, maybe that would be a really good idea.
Okay, next up we have Dylan Eisman.
Hi, I just wanted to respond to the comments that have been made about me and my viewpoints. The people who have condemned my position have brought the fact of intersectionality, and as a gay Jewish person, I think these people have neglected to see the fact of, as a Jewish person who has family and has lived in Israel, part of my life, that some of these comments and perspectives are anti-Semitic, and the persistent harassment from members on who are currently serving on the student assembly for people like myself who were running this past term is incredibly inappropriate, as I have screenshots of tweets, Instagram DMs that have shown this harassment persistently and continue on going forward.
Next up, sorry, just one second. Next up, we have Raquel.
Yeah, hi. As the outgoing Students with Disabilities rep, I just wanted to say that we can't bring forward a statement that willfully ignores over 1,600 rockets fired at Israeli civilians, by a terrorist organization, and putting over 5.5 million civilians in Israel who are Jews, Muslims, Christians, anything, under immediate threat, who have been sleeping in bomb shelters for five straight days. And you cannot ignore the seven Israelis, including a five-year-old boy, who are dead because of these bombings and the hundreds more that have been injured. So instead of this, we should be uplifting both sides and not making a one-sided argument. So thank you.
Okay, next up, we have Claudia.
Yeah, super quickly, I just wanted to say, Dylan, as a constituent, you didn't really address the concerns that Uche and Tomas brought up. It was racism and transphobia. I don't think your identity as a Jewish gay man has anything to do with that. I would like to hear you address the racism and transphobia allegations.
Next up, we have Morgan Baker.
Thanks, Noah. I'd like to cede the rest of my time to Irene.
Okay.
Thank you, Morgan. Irene. Just continuing where I left off briefly, as I was saying, the statement is unacceptable and cannot be minimized into a few paragraphs. The situation on social media in the past few days has resulted in a rise in attacks against Jews both in America and on campus. As that said, you have a duty to protect all students regardless of their views on the conflict. Furthermore, the calls to action at the end of the statement are unacceptable. Ending the relationship with the Technion and partnerships with Israel does nothing to protect anyone's lives. It will not end the conflict. Instead, it unjustly targets the only Jewish state in the world. Israel is the only safe place in the world for Jews. By asking Cornell to do this, you are telling Jewish students you do not deserve safety, you do not deserve to live in peace, and you are not welcome on this campus.
Okay, next up we have Layla.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that I think Raquel said something like, we should not be putting out a statement. Your name is not on the statement, so we are not speaking for any of you. If you would like to make your own statement, you are more than welcome to. Again, we did say this is not something we wanted to debate. We're not going to debate whether people deserve human rights or not. And yet this is what we're saying. Just make your own statement.
Okay, next up we have, actually Uche has spoken, so we're going to give priority to people who have not spoken yet. So Kayla.
Hi, I just really quickly wanted to mention, I was in RBCC today in the bathroom and I already had to erase a Hitler quote and swastika. So moving forward, if people can just kind of be aware of what's going on campus, what you guys see, what you guys say, recognize consequences, and if you guys see hate, please stand up against it. And that goes just as a blanket statement. Thanks.
Okay, next up we have Danielle.
I just wanted to address something that Layla El-Maghi just said about how somehow the statement was not put out by Raquel or any other student on this student besides one signing. You are the student assembly, and for a student assembly that prides itself on accountability and democracy, and to not let a single constituent, a single community member actually speak on this statement is absolutely hypocritical. The double standards are insane. To not address the obvious human rights violations perpetrated by Hamas on Israeli civilians, including, again, a five-year-old boy, is obnoxious, and the anti-Semitism is absolutely appalling. And I wish we had someone on the student assembly willing to actually address this and make sure that it's brought up. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to clarify as well. Today, we didn't take comments or questions on any of the presentations, just in the interest of time. But right now, obviously, we're in open mic, and this is like the time to discuss the issue like we've been doing. So I just want to make sure like everyone's clear that I don't think that we're trying to silence any comments on this issue. And with that, just next up, we have Johan.
Hi, can you guys hear me? All right, guys. Oh yeah. Two quick questions. The first one is I noticed that the on the announcement that made it seems that on the footnote it still says Cornell Student Assembly. I understand that it's the like the people's their own sign. So I'm wondering is possible to remove that so that people don't have misunderstanding saying that the resolution actually come from the assembly itself. Other than that, quick questions. I know it's probably the last student assembly meeting. So is there any special ceremony for like ongoing graduates and ongoing SA members?
Okay. In the interest of time, we're going to call this after our last speaker, Lauren, goes, and then we're going to move on with our agenda.
Hi, thank you. I want to echo what Danielle said, and also I want to thank you, Noah, for clarifying that you are taking the time to hear our comments about the statement made at the beginning of this meeting, and I just want to share why it hurts me, and it's because after taking courses about the region, living in Israel and the West Bank, I'll be the first to say that I don't know enough to propose any statement about the violence, because at the end of the day, both sides are experiencing violence that is incomprehensible to most people on this Zoom. And although it is a reality that I've experienced in the past, yesterday was the first time that I needed to say out loud that my family and friends in Israel and Palestine are being bombed. They're sleeping in bomb shelters. I'm scared for their lives. I've just been trying to keep in touch with them and understand what's going on. And we're submitting this statement to try to say that we know what's going on, and we don't.
Okay, and with that, we're going to close open microphone and move on with our agenda. Kat, for that, I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Noah, for sharing open microphone. I hope you all recognize that we do have a very packed schedule, so we called it at 5:25. I think we had about 10, a fair amount of time for open microphone. Thank you for everyone who came out to speak. I do want to reiterate that this statement is signed by student assembly members. It uses, I believe Johan mentioned that it uses like the essay like paper function, like the header and footer. I personally use that when I write my personal statements. So it's just, if you're an SA member, welcome to use it. UA members do that as well. But this is not, I think Layla said, this is not indicative of the full assembly. Assembly members wrote it. They presented it today so people could hear about it. That's about it. Thank you to everyone who came to our meeting. Okay, moving forward, I believe we have approval of the minutes. So this is the May 6th, 2021 minutes. If my SA members could take a minute to look at them, and then I would just favorably upon a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Lucas. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a second. Does anybody object to approving these minutes? All right, seeing as there's no, would anybody object to approving it by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing as there's no objection, those minutes have been approved by unanimous consent. Moving forward with our agenda items, I believe we're starting with resolution number 47, which is being brought today by students from the ILR school, specifically our ILR representative, Lucas Lumpano. I'd also like to welcome any ILR students here today to discuss this resolution. Representative Zupano, if you're there, please feel free to unmute yourself and start presenting your resolution.
Hey, thank you so much, Kat. And the reason we're here today is actually we're formalizing a relationship, which is well needed, especially in light of this year in terms of communication. And we're actually, the university for the first time is offered an opportunity to see what effective communication could look like within the realm of a college, right? We're looking now, where am I getting to? So the SGA, short for Student Government Organization, has undergone a restructuring process this past year. And what this process, which will hopefully enlighten other universities to undergo similar initiatives, is sanctioning the SGA to be a hub, act as a hub a hub within that channels communication and fosters communication to all other entities within the ILR school. In essence, and in simple terms, a delegate from each entity, and this is how the state of affairs right now, a delegate from each organization, club, or entity, which I will soon say, is delegated to SGA. So that kind of to illustrate in your mind, to convey to you what this hub is coming to look like. This resolution seeks to formalize and add a necessary component to this, to making this a holistic entity, right? And that is adding the SA, adjuncting the SA to the student government organization. Why? Well, the oath that many new students just take, which I congratulate you on, and look forward to what everyone's going to do next year. Part of the oath that everyone took was to foster effective communication between you and your constituent base. Historically, that has been not completed to its ideal standard, or which we would like to see. And there's a myriad of reasons one can assign blame to this fact, but fulfilling this oath and going back to it, this resolution seeks to concretize and really formalize, right, really ensure that effective communication to happen here on. In essence, what we're doing is anything that would pertain to ILR students, right, and this really is an internal resolution proper to the ILR school, right, what would happen is the ILR, and what we want to see is the ILR rep, right, always being attentive to the SGA and the voice of the SGA, because now the SGA holistically encompasses the voice of the student body. An opportunity, a new opportunity, in fact, for an SA rep to ensure that communication. So to this end, me and leaders of SGA, Daniel James II, thank you so much. We put this together. Kat Huang, thank you so much for your help on this as well. Carol Lombardi, the Assistant Dean for Student Experience and Well-Being, thank you so much for inspiring this process to happen. As such, this restructuring process is not completed yet until this is in effect, until the SA rep becomes an adjunct of an active actor within the SGA, an extension, right, of the SGA, in that way to secure this communication that we want to see, right, and that is necessary. So we avoid mishaps that come, you know, from that we've seen in past times. So the SGA, in fact, has delegates from the following organizations within ILR, and they are all of them. And it includes those that may form and develop, and they include, but they're not limited to, ILR Ambassadors, ILR Global Affairs Club, ILR Sports Business Society, ILR Women's Caucus, Minority ILR Student Organization, People's Organizing Collective, Skyman Conflict Resolution Club, the Society for Human Resource Management, Undergraduate Labor Institute. Delegates from each of these organizations are meet and convene at this hub, the SGA, this new platform, which it proffers as a great opportunity to really secure this communication going forward. And we have a lot of things on our agenda going on today, and I understand that. I don't know if I want to, if what we could go by line, right? But I think I went over, I summarized it, you know, pretty well, to say the most part. Where we're getting to and what we'd like to see materially, right, is the necessary legitimization of the ILR-SGSA representative relationship, right? Which seeks to address the harms articulated in what I was just saying, right? Like harms that just are procured from miscommunications. So be it further resolved that the ILR rep acts as a voting member of the SGA board. This is already within the constitution of the SGA. Now the SGA and the ILR school is seeking the attention of the student assembly to be in accord with such. So that the IR representative acts as a voting member of the SGA board, as recently prescribed in the SGA amended constitution. This relationship is concretized in the following expectations of the IR representative member too. Attend weekly SGA meetings once a week, around 45 to an hour long meetings. Could be longer, could be shorter, but you know, that's around there, ballpark. Receive and act on feedback from ILR constituents. Now, really, this receive and act on feedback from ILR constituents, yes, it is the job of any rep to do so. However, this opportunity, which has been provided by the SGA's restructuring process and the coming together of the ILR school, which is what we all want to see, really provides us opportunities to secure that, right, to secure feedback from ILR constituents and assist with the planning of events and other relevant operations, because that's what SGA does. SGA is formally in charge with all of these characteristics. I mean, think of all the intersectionalities present within this one hub now and all the different voices that are now together. So be it finally resolved that the failure of the ILR representative to act in accordance with mandates set forth by the SGA shall be viewed, sorry for that typo, as a violation of their obligations as ILR representative, as articulated in section, this is an internal policy resolution. So we would like to see some mandate or something that along the lines that would hold the SA rep accountable, maybe an absence from not coming to the SGA meeting would concur or would also be analogous to an absence of missing a normal SA meeting, approximately to that. That's what we would like to see, because doing this, really, we're going to do a lot more going forward, and it's going to be a lot more effective. Now, many may wonder, well, this is cool, but, you know, wasn't this the ILR rep's job throughout, you know, thy term? And I'm here to say, well, why doesn't this become something that we can ensure, and if given this opportunity? And I will, and what I would like to see is not just the ILR rep, you know, and not just the ILR our rep, you know, be you know, within this ensured domain of communication. I would like other colleges and other schools to look at this and say, hey, you know, maybe like they're onto something, right? Maybe we can kind of create our own hub, have our SA rep be an extension of such to share communication back and forth, and that way ensure it. And I think I've said enough on that. Does anyone, Daniel or any co-sponsor, Kat, like to say anything on the topic?
Just want to thank you for bringing this resolution to the floor today and coordinating with the SGA. I also recognize that you've been working closely with ILR administrators, some of whom I consider great mentors to myself. So thank you for acting as that liaison and bringing this to the floor. I do see that we have a few hands, I'm assuming in response to the resolution. First, we have Lucas. Lucas, please state your question, your comment.
Yeah, so certainly I don't think it's a bad resolution. I think, as you said, you know, that was my one question to start with, was, isn't it already the job of the ILR rep? And I guess I get that, you know, having some kind of formalized relationship with the SGA makes sense. With that being said, I guess I don't know that this resolution actually accomplishes that. Seeing as anything that's like not actually in the charter, I don't think we can actually hold a member to. So like this even leaves out the section of the charter. Section 8, I think, is what we want to look at, which is section 8, responsibilities of voting members. I get the intention. I think the intention is right, but I struggle with, you know, even this process of starting to mandate that members have to be a part of other certain constituency councils and things like that. I think, like you said, it'll work, and it's a template for other positions and things like that. But I think it's kind of out of line per se to, you know, stipulate that because you are now the ILR rep, you also are a member of this group or have to join this group, or that group or the other group. The SA kind of functions as its own entity. And yeah, I don't know, you're essentially running for two different positions then, which I'm not sure about. So.
Okay. I think you misunderstood. So what the SGA is it has a delegate from each and every organization that exists and will develop hereafter ILR. What is this, Lucas? This is think of it as what it should be, a hub. And I get it, it's hard to conceptualize because it hasn't been done before. This is a new restructuring process. But I don't agree that this is, remember, this is something that is completely, you know, warranted from the ILR school. But I honestly I don't agree with you on the sense that the feedback and like the we're giving up the individual role of the SA rep. I think it adds to, and I go back, I think it adds to this person's role. I understand it's hard to conceptualize at the moment. Like what do you mean? Like you're making this person go to meetings or whatever that like you didn't go to? You know, I would like, I'm not saying, you know, put a strict number on it, a strict rule per se, change a charter. But definitely be encouraged that or at least formalize within the eyes of the school, this relationship between the SA and the SGA. Because what happens now is you have a place, a source, a one-pointed source, actually, that that the ILR rep can get every sense of every perspective of any student feedback that there is for any topic.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Representative Zimpano. Out of respect for the other agenda items, Lucas, thank you for asking your question. I'll allow Daniel and Nicole to state the comments, and Representative Zimpano, you have an opportunity to respond to each of them. Please limit your comments to about 45 seconds to a minute. I'll time if I have to again, but I will recognize Nicole next.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to say something. As I am the incoming ILR rep, and I'm also currently on the SGA. I have been on the SGA for the last 2 years. And kind of like as the person who I actually wrote out the delegate stuff in the Constitution with the help of the rest of eBoard. And I just want to say that the ILR rep will not be part of the eBoard. The eBoard will still be the main governing body of SGA. The delegate system is really just to keep like communication and accountability like free flowing throughout ILR, because one of the things that I was frustrated by when I was on the SGA was like kind of lack of communication between, you know, these people who are both supposed to be representing ILR students to the best of their abilities. I know you said like, you're not sure if it's going to work. I can personally guarantee you I am going to make it work next year. I will do everything in my power to make it not only function, but function better than anyone thought it would. And I will further like encourage like future reps to do the same thing. And I really do believe in this resolution, again, as someone who put so much time into it. And I really think that the delegate system would be best for ILR and ensuring that constituents are represented to the best of everyone's abilities. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Nicole. We appreciate your dedication to the role. Next, recognize Daniel James. Please state your question or your comment.
Hi, you all. Thank you to Kat, Noah, and Lucas for bringing this to the floor. Honestly, I think that Lucas and Nicole have pretty much covered it. I do think that this was something necessary to bring as a resolution, given especially what happened last fall. I think it was largely in response to that and making sure that we have a way. ILR is the only other student body that exists on this campus, and I think that unique relationship necessitates something pioneering like this. So I really appreciate it, and I yield the rest of my time. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Daniel. We appreciate your presence at this meeting. Next, I recognize Tomas. Please state your question or your comment.
I just want to say that there is kind of a precedence for this. The LGBT rep has an ex officio position in Haven, and essentially people can bring issues through Haven, and then Haven can contact the LGBT rep, and we have free access to eBoard meetings, et cetera. But that doesn't, like, the LGBT rep doesn't vote
on Haven issues necessarily. It's more like just like a consulting role and formally sets up that relationship. And I think it's a really good relationship to have. But yeah, it's not an unheard of concept. There is precedent for it. And I don't see any reason why we should vote against this.
Great. Thank you so much, Tomas, for sharing. That is helpful information. Lucas, I'll allow one follow up and one response. Okay, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so Tomas, no.
Sorry, I meant Lucas Smith. I apologize. I feel like Tomas was agreeing with your resolution, so I don't know if you have to respond. Lucas?
One question. This is tough. So I guess kind of two questions almost. So Tomas, is that written in the charter? Do you know, like, is that a specific position? Okay. So you're nodding your head. So it is saying that you have to be an ex-officio. You have the ex-officio membership. That's what I'm wondering is what I'm concerned about here is right now this is a resolution. So there is no teeth behind it to say that, you know, in our charter and, you know, I think what is the last line is referring to that that would be a failure of their obligations as an ILR representative. I think that's tough for us to say if it's not going to be a written responsibility in the charter. I don't think it can actually be something that, I know I struggle with that. I think it needs to be in the charter if it's going to be something that someone in theory could be removed from office for. That's my take. I'm not against the resolution, put that out there. Maybe something that we just look at next year, but I want to make that clear.
Great. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, Lucas. Lucas and Pana, I will allow you a quick like 30 to 45 seconds to respond if you so wish. And again, keeping an eye on the time, please keep your remarks brief.
So about like the stringency and like what we expect to like really be like a negative reinforcement to this policy and this resolution, that would be up to the student assembly, of course. And we can amend that, you know, as you say. But I mean, going back to that, to the oath, right? Like this really ensures that oath is carried out in from a systemic perspective, at the very least. So about like obligations and stuff and such, I do consider it in that way, in that sense of the term, to be a failure of the ILR rep otherwise.
Great. Thank you for explaining, Lucas. And then I'll allow one last question or comment from Morgan Baker. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Kat. I think most, if not all of us, are in favor of this, so I'm going to motion the vote.
Thank you for motioning to vote. Is there a second? There has been a second. All right, so we're going to formally vote on this. Current SA voting members, please raise your hand if you're voting in favor of this resolution. And then I'll ask for any votes for abstentions or noes after this vote. Okay, I'm going to close voting in. And if you're going to abstain, please privately message me. I will ask for a separate vote for no votes later. Okay. Let me see if anyone is not voting. Cannot find people's names. I think we're waiting on one more vote. I'm going to assume that's an abstention. Okay, almost overstated. All right, I see 20 votes in favor, so that's 22-022. This resolution passes. Representative Zupana, thank you very much for bringing this resolution to the floor and for your hard work on it. Do you have a quick last comments? I see.
Thank you so much. Thank you everyone for making this possible. And just for ILR, I'm excited just to see what this is going to do. It's going to do so much. Thank you, everyone.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Lucas. And thank you to every member from the ILR community who is here today. We really appreciate your presence. Alrighty. I will now move to our next agenda item, but I do recall that I think Representative Zverev wants to do a motion to amend the agenda, I believe. Or not, if he's not here.
I would like to motion to amend the agenda as well, if that's possible.
Okay, is this to add something to the agenda?
Yeah, just a resolution that I passed on a couple of meetings ago that I don't think is gonna get passed out otherwise. So sure.
So you can motion to amend the agenda to add it to the the list of our agenda items. Mm-hmm. We'll probably discuss it after we finish all of our other agenda items, but you can motion right now and then we'll get to it later.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Then okay. I motion to amend it, please.
Okay, so you motion to amend the agenda to add your previous resolution about lighting, I believe, to mm-hmm.
that one.
The end of our agenda. Okay, is there a second? Yes.
Second.
All right, does anybody object to approving this by unanimous consent? Seeing as there is no objection, the agenda has been agenda has been amended. We'll be discussing that later in a meeting. Representative Zverev, do you have a motion?
Yeah, I would like to amend the agenda to move resolution number 52 to be the next resolution because my committee member that's going to be presenting it has to go at 6. And then the rest of the order is fine. So just having that one next.
Great. Thanks so much for that motion. So Representative Zverev is motion. Okay. Thank you. There's been a second. So we are going to motion has been proposed to move resolution 52, amending leave of absence policies, ahead in the agenda so we can discuss it right now as we have stakeholder members present currently who have to leave soon. So we want to discuss it presently. Is there any objection to amending the agenda by unanimous consent? See, as there's no objection, the agenda has been amended. So we'll move forward with that resolution, 52, amending leave of absence policies. To the co-sponsors, please feel free to unmute and start presenting your resolution.
Can I make one more motion to amend the agenda?
Yes, you may make one more motion.
Yes, to add on resolution 53 is to approve a special projects funding request.
Okay, so this will be at the end of our list of agenda items, yes?
Yeah. Second.
Is there a second? There's been a second. Thank you, Annie. Is there any objection to approving this motion to amend by unanimous consent? Seeing as there's no objection, the agenda has been amended. Is there any other agenda amendments for now? All right, we're good. Okay, back to resolution 52, I believe, leave of absence policy. Sam, your co-sponsors, please feel free to present your resolution.
Right, thank you so much for allowing me to present this resolution and amending the agenda. I'll go ahead and share my screen. Yeah, so this is something that the Student Health Advisory Committee has been working on for this semester. I think these changes are pretty much no nonsense and will just help out with the mental health well-being of the Cornell student body. So the resolution essentially calls for Cornell to amend its leave of absence policies in order to better accommodate the mental health well-being of the student body. And there's essentially three changes that we're proposing. And these changes really stem from this report that actually came out in 2018 and got a lot of traction when it first came out, especially on campus, because this report was released by the Rubin Family Foundation, a Boston-based philanthropy that is advocates for the inclusion of people with disabilities. And it released a report on Cornell's mental health policies. And Cornell ended up, and most of the Ivy League actually ended up receiving a grade of around a D. And Cornell actually received a D minus specifically. And there are several policies that were named specifically that contribute this abysmal grade. And two of them being the fact that Cornell policies state that is actually, when there's a threat of community disruption, Cornell University may place a student on an involuntary leave of absence. As well as the fact that Cornell students may not initiate a health leave of absence after the last day of classes. So I didn't want to talk about these two policies first and why they're problematic. And I think this is really quite straightforward. You know, the first language being that if there is some kind of disruption that's caused by a student due to the fact that, you know, they're maybe experiencing mental health problems, Cornell can take that and essentially place a student on a leave of absence against their will. And you can see here in this whereas clause, that is essentially, in a lot of ways, can be considered discrimination on the basis of disability, which is highly problematic. And the fact that a student may not initiate a health leave of absence after the last day of classes is also, I think, quite straightforward. Finals, no doubt, are the most strenuous times of the semester. And I think students should be able to seek the help that they need, even after the last day of classes. I know for a fact that it's quite feasible to see someone who can begin to struggle specifically during the study period when everything is closing in and they may have to take 6 to 8, you know, as many as 6 finals in 5 days. I mean, that's definitely not unheard of. So these changes specifically, I think, are particularly no nonsense and only will help to serve the student body better. In addition to that, you know, throughout the discussion in our committee, we also talked about how the leave of absence, how there's another barrier to people seeking help, and specifically the health leave of absence, is the fact that they receive a W as soon as they initiate it, no matter how far along in the semester they are. So, you know, to add on, this really adds on to the fact that, you know, you should be able to, you know, seek help whenever you need to. And you could have been doing, you know, extremely well in your classes, but all of a sudden everything was just, you know, piling in and you really need to seek help and, you know, request that health leave of absence. So What we're proposing is that people who actually first initiate a health leave of absence don't automatically receive a W for any courses that have not been completed, but instead receive incomplete. And if they're able to, complete their coursework at a later date, they should have that option. So this just really gives people more flexibility and more power, to make the decisions that they need and to get the help that they need. So you can see that the three solutions that I proposed are really right at the tail end of this resolution. So I really think this resolution is really no nonsense. And just a quick aside, like I said earlier, these are problems that have been identified by nonprofits and, specifically by the SOFI Fund. I think a lot of you are familiar with it. And they both have agreed that these policies do a lot to hurt the student body. So we should seek to amend these as soon as possible. Yeah, and thank you so much. And that's really all I had.
Great. Thank you so much for coming to present this resolution. Do any other co-sponsors wish to speak on this resolution?
I just would like to say that if there's no comments or questions, I'd like to vote by unanimous consent.
Sure. Is that an official motion to vote, or is that official motion to vote, or would you like to address Andrea's question first?
I would like to address questions first, if there are any.
Sure. Arson, please feel free to stop screen sharing unless we need to screen share again. There we go. Thank you. Andrea, please state your question or comment. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Hi. If possible, I'd love to co-sponsor this resolution because I also I addressed this very topic in the very report with Cornell Minds Matter, and I really identified with the leave of absence. So if I could co-sponsor, I think I would really like to support this.
Thank you, Andrea. I do believe this resolution was brought by Samuel's committee, which is Jack. So I'm not sure if the co-sponsorship is limited to committee members, but you're of course welcome as a signatory or a vote in favor, depending on whether the co-sponsors feel the need to motion to amend to I just co-sponsor. But also a vote in favor is just also very helpful. Okay. Do we have
motion
any
to vote by unanimous consent?
Okay, so there's been a motion to vote by unanimous consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Andrea, is it okay if you're not as a co-sponsor at this moment? I think because it is a committee resolution, I think having your vote is just as good.
I mean, yeah, that works too.
Okay, great. Thank you. So there has been a motion to vote, and there is a second. And then Samuel, you did want this to be motion to vote by unanimous consent. Does anybody object to that? Okay. Seeing as there's no objection, I will, this resolution has been approved by unanimous consent. Thank you so much, Arson, for coming and presenting your resolution. We appreciate your hard work. Samuel, thank you for your committee work. We appreciate it. Great. Do we have any questions or comments at this moment? Right, seeing no hands, I'll move forward with our original agenda order. So going to resolution 48, establishing conflict resolution training. I don't know if the co-sponsors are here today. Let me know if you are. I think it was Frank.
Point of information, what's the meeting code for this?
I don't know. I can...
Like the passcode?
Wendy or... anyone from the OA, if you have the meeting code, let me know, or if you know how to find it.
The passcode, I'll send it to you, Amy.
Great. Okay, thank you. I believe Frank is having trouble getting on right now.
Okay.
So, yeah. Motion to amend the agenda and come back to this resolution.
I think that's okay. I think it's okay. Okay, there's been a second. Anybody object to that? All right, we'll come back to this when Frank is able to hop on the call. Next on our agenda, let's see. Okay, resolution 49, support of the choice-based grading system for the remainder of the spring 2021 semester. Co-sponsors, please feel free to unmute yourselves and present your resolution.
Am I supposed to screen share it on my side or?
If you want to, but you don't necessarily have to.
Okay. I don't have it up right now, but I just wanted to, I know we're short on time, and in the interest of time, I have a brief introduction. So this resolution supports the implementation of a choice-based grading system for the remainder of the spring 2021 semester that would allow all courses, regardless of degree requirements, to have an SU option. I believe this is an urgent, necessary policy because there has been an overwhelming amount of students who have expressed concerns related to mental health and how the circumstances surrounding both the COVID-19 pandemic and recent tragedies have made it challenging to succeed academically and access critical resources for depression, stress, and anxiety. I strongly believe that this resolution will take a large burden off of students' shoulders who are experiencing extraordinary stress, and hope it passes it and is conveyed to President Pollock immediately. I also want to thank Morgan for her support in co-sponsoring this resolution, and happy to answer any questions. And in the meantime, I will try to share my screen.
Great, thank you. Okay, thank you for presenting the resolution. I see a hand from Annie. Please state your question or your comment.
I just would like to voice in support of this, and in the interest of time, I would like to move to vote by unanimous consent if I'm able to.
Sure, so Annie has motion to vote by unanimous consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing as there's no objection, we have voted on this resolution by unanimous consent. It has been unanimously approved by the Assembly. Thank you for bringing your resolution to the floor. Next, I think we will go to back to 48, seeing as Frank has been able to hop on. Feel free to present your resolution, although I do have a quick question later about the RNA committee resolution rules.
Well, can we just do that before I, like,
yes, present it? Sure. I think Tomas wants to make a point first.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the, like, concept of the resolution, but, like, it explicitly says in the language that established the RNA committee that the RNA committee cannot pass resolutions. And I think it's a bad precedent to set within literally the first year of it existing that we're passing resolutions through it. The RNA committee can only pass recommendations, which they can present to the student assembly, which I think in that case would have happened during announcements because it's a recommendation. But the RNA committee cannot pass resolutions as explicitly stated in its charter or whatever, you know, jargon bullshit. Sorry. Strike that from the record. And I just think, regardless of whether, like, I support this resolution specifically and the concept, which I do, it's a bad precedent to set to suddenly allow the RNA committee to pass resolutions when it was formed, we explicitly said we wouldn't allow that.
Great. Thank you to us for raising that point. That's basically what I was gonna say. I just gonna call attention to that language. Frank, I'm sure I don't want to speak for you, but are you familiar with that language? Could you
try to adjust that? I believe that, yes. I believe I referred to it in the abstract as a recommendation because, you know, you can't really title it for the sake of, you know, our meeting, a resolution recommendation. I was under that impression that it would be perfectly appropriate. That's why in the abstract there is an indication that it is a recommendation. If you choose to have it formatted appropriately, differently, that's fine by me.
Thank you. Yes, I do think it's just a basic issue of, like, formatting and structure. I recognize that the abstract doesn't include that this is the recommendation. However, it is titled, like, a resolution number 48, which I don't think is technically allowed by the rules of your role.
Right. That's why I used, actually, I sent to Wendy a different template than you had originally sent to me, and I was asked to reformat it.
Oh, perfect. Do you have
as a resolution?
Do you have the reformatted version ready?
I believe I can send it however you... Well, she asked me to reformat it as a resolution. It was originally written as a recommendation. Is there a way for me to... I think it was attached, actually, to the meeting, online meeting link of resolutions and stuff as a recommendation. If you'd like to see it in that way, I can attach it. Sure. As a direct message to you, if that's possible.
Sure. There might have been a little bit of miscommunications. Wendy, yes.
Yeah, when I received all the information from Noah for the agenda, it was listed as a resolution.
Oh, yes.
So no worries. That's why I put it in there. The only reason I sent it to Frank was because there was no lines, and it wasn't, there wasn't an action with it, like what sort of action it should be. So, and I completely apologize for overlooking the fact that the RNA committee cannot put forth resolutions.
Not at all your fault. I understand there's always a lot of communications going around, and I know Noah, there has been complications with the agenda and recently. That's completely all right. Thank you for acknowledging that, Wendy. Okay, Frank. Yes, feel free to message me with the resolution. My phone is dead and I don't have Slack downloaded, so email is probably best. So, and Tomas, I do see that your hand is still up. Do you have another question or comment?
Yeah, I just want to, so the language in like the description of the RNA committee says, however, after full inquiry or fact-finding action, a written report may be presented to the SA, which will include a brief summary of the situation being investigated and any necessary actions the committee recommends. Again, like, this isn't your fault. Like, this is a new committee. We've never actually had someone present a recommendation yet. But to me, that sounds like something that in general should happen during like announcements or presentations. And at that point, like, you present your recommendations and then the SA can adopt your recommendations either like outside of that meeting. If that makes sense. I don't even think this necessarily would require a resolution. Right. But yeah, I don't think it should happen during this point of the meeting anyways. I think it's just intended to come across as some kind of presentation, similar to how Patrick gave a presentation like of a report of how elections went, right?
Great.
So yeah.
Well, Tomas, thanks for that clarification. I think that's really helpful. Frank, would you mind if I made a quick suggestion to you or a piece of advice? So yes, I think this resolution is great. Seeing as we are encountering these issues with the formatting, may I propose that, so we have a new assembly coming in. This change would affect only the new assembly. So I think it's quite all right if this is brought to either the first meeting of the new assembly when you guys start meeting in September, or if you bring it up to incoming president Annalia Donye, she can actually implement this as part of the onboarding process that the SA usually does over the summer. So we do a lot of like informal orientation things, and that, you know, is part of where this could fall in if you would be open to that.
I'd like to just, you know, propose it now and, you know, just so that the idea is out there, and to, you know, is at your discretion to reject it or get rid of it either way. But I would like to just present it in any case.
Okay, thank you. So it has been presented. I think the issue now is that we may not be able to vote on it, seeing as it's not public formatted. And if, I don't know if you've emailed it to me yet or not.
I mean, there on the website, there are two versions of it.
Okay.
So it should, I can send you this one right here with the final version of it as I sent to Noah earlier this week when we sent. All right. So you said email to you? That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think it would, I'm trying to figure out how to get it to the rest of the assembly. Okay, as we wait, I'll check my email again. As we wait, does anybody have any comments on the resolution or the recommendation as it should be itself? I'm open. Okay. Annie, I see your hand is up. Please state your question or comment.
I just want to acknowledge that this is a new thing, and so I think different members of the assembly have different opinions on how exactly RNA should work, but the ambiguous language does leave it open to the RNA chair to kind of still figure things out as it is new. And obviously the current RNA chair said it in the abstract recommendation, and they were just trying to follow how things normally run here. So while it might not be ideal, there's nothing wrong in what they did. It says it's a recommendation. They're allowed to present recommendations on the specific recommendation itself. I'm highly in support. I think this is something that we should vote on now and pass now, because the onboarding does take place over the summer. And so the only way for this to be implemented is to pass it now so it can be implemented over the summer. If you implement in the fall after onboarding, I don't, and there's also going to be a complete new leadership. So this is kind of the last time we could pass it, and I would like to urge all my assembly members to also vote yes in support of this.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing, Annie. I see you have more hands up. Tomas, as you have already spoken twice, I'm going to put you on the third speakers list and recognize Patrick and then Lucas and then you as Patrick and Lucas have not spoken yet. Patrick, please state your question, your comment.
Yeah, I just have a quick question, because outside of SA stuff, I run the Shaman Conflict Resolution Club and work very closely with the Shaman and with how ADR works at Cornell. I'm just curious as to what conflict resolution training this is specifically talking about, because I know the code of conduct is shifting, which is changing some of the ADR language. So I guess, is there an attempt to work with the Shaman for this conflict resolution stuff, or with the OJA or Dean of Students, or where's the, I'm just asking about the content of it, of what type of conflict resolution training is it going to be?
Right. So that's Frank, I'll let you respond now.
Right. So the idea is to work to resolve, focus on the basic issues of conflict resolution, modeling the ILR curriculum class, as well as the conflict resolution program that you mentioned. And I think that in doing that, we can find a good middle ground that's catered specifically to resolving inter-party disputes, which is what SA issues generally revolve around, and finding middle ground and finding ways to resolve interpersonal issues as well as interorganizational issues.
Great. Thank you so much for responding, Frank. Does that adequately answer your question, Patrick? Great. Okay. Lucas, your hand was up previously. Do you still have a question or comment?
Great. I'm good.
Thank you so much. Okay. Tomas, back to you.
Yeah, I just want to be clear, like, no one was saying that Frank did anything wrong, and I acknowledge that this is a new thing, and we haven't done this before, so the defensiveness was unnecessary. That being said, I don't think this is something we can vote on, because it's not a resolution, like, it's a recommendation. Like, it had to be presented as a recommendation at the beginning of the meeting, right? Because it's a presentation, not a resolution. It's a report. And then we can decide how to move forward, right? Like, this could have been done during like a sprint meeting if we were still having those, right? Like, it's not something that I think can be voted on, because again, if you set that precedent, then you're essentially just giving RNA committee the power to pass resolutions, but calling them recommendations, but it's no different than a resolution, right? Like, you see how that sets a precedent to give RNA power that it was never intended to have? Like, you're just giving it power to pass resolutions, but calling them recommendations, but there's no difference in practice, right? Like, praxis matters, and you're giving it essentially the exact same power as a resolution, which it was never intended to have.
Great. Thank you for your feedback, Tomas. I see Annie has her hand up again. Frank, would you like to respond, or Annie, would you like to respond?
I guess, can we just move on? Just look, okay, sure. I agree there's concerns, but you know, I think they need to be clarified in the form of actual written amendments to bylaws and respective governing documents rather than through interpretive opinion.
Thank you. I also have received the copy.
Like, most of the table, in that case, since we're not clear on how we're supposed to operate this committee, despite being chairs of it for a semester, then I think we should motion a table indefinitely, and maybe the next RNA chair can know how to do their job.
Was that an official motion?
Yeah, that was official.
So that was a motion to table, which means that it can be reintroduced at any future meeting if you choose to bring it again. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there has been a second. So we need dissent.
Dissent.
Okay, so please state your dissent, Annie.
If we motion to rename it Student Assembly Recommendations and Resolution, I just don't understand why we can't vote on it now. I was just about to introduce an amendment to rename it Student Assembly Recommendation. There is precedent of statements coming up during this time. We used, at one meeting in the fall, we had statements literally at the end after resolutions. There is like no precedent for always you have to end with all of the resolutions. And I think if people are in favor of it, why aren't we making it work? Like, you just said the current RNA chair needs to learn how to do his job, and then also mentioned that it's a new position and we're still figuring things out. So I'm just confused, and that's where my dissent comes in, because I believe we can retitle it Student Assembly Recommendation, and if people are happy with it, we should just be able to vote for it today.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Morgan, are you going to be responding to Annie's dissent, like the dissent to vote?
Oh, I was just going to ask a question, but I don't need to.
Okay. So, I think we have to vote on whether or not to vote. So SA members, please vote. Can we do the yes no's yet on Zoom? Has everyone's Zoom been updated? Okay, I see some yes and no's. All right, let's just do hands again. So please raise your hand if you are in favor of, okay, please raise your hand if you're in favor of voting on this, like moving forward to a vote on this resolution.
Vote to table. I just want to clarify that.
Thank you, vote to table. I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that's 8 votes, 9 votes, 10 votes. Okay. Please get your votes in like now. okay. So that is 10 votes, 11. Okay. I'm closing voting in 10 seconds. 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's 13 votes in favor of moving forward to vote. So I believe that does pass. So we will now move into a actual vote on this resolution. I think it's just a vote to table. It's not a like rejection of the proposed recommendation or an approval. It's just that's going to be picked up.
Point of order, the current RNA's chair, the current RNA chair's term, I believe, is all chair's terms end at the end of the year. So I just like to bring that up as a point of order that tabling this is effectively killing it, because there will probably be a new RNA chair and committee next year, and they aren't beholden to bring this back. So I just want to make that a point of order.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that point of order, Annie. I think we still technically are moving forward to a vote. And again, I would highly encourage, I think people have expressed that they are in favor of the content of this resolution. And again, a lot of the onboarding that we do is done by a new assembly team. So not us, not me. And you would want to speak with the new leadership of the SA. To add us to the onboarding, which is like a very simple thing. We add orientation stuff all the time. And it can very easily be done informally and then affirmed with new assembly. Okay, so now we're going to officially vote on this resolution. Please put your hand up if you're voting in favor of tabling this resolution. I'm gonna close voting in 10 seconds. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so that's 14 votes in favor of tabling. I think that does pass. So this recommendation, not a resolution, recommendation has been tabled. I don't even know if we're allowed to like officially make motions on recommendations, but that's where we'll leave it to rest right now, right? I would highly encourage you again to reach out to President Anonye, Vice President Bansa, to discuss adding this to the onboarding process for next year's assembly. Okay, moving forward with the agenda, we are now at resolution 50, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, establishing automatic professor updates on check-in at Cornell Health. I do believe this is from Representative Castillo, if you would like to unmute and present your resolution. Great.
Yes, I'm Christopher Roy. I'll be presenting on behalf of Representative Castillo and then Student Health Advisory Committee. Basically this is a resolution kind of to facilitate establishing a basic line of trust between students and professors when students are asking for academic accommodations. A student can ask for documentation of a visit or a check-in at Cornell Health, although as we say in the resolution, the hours are kind of inconvenient to do that, and an automatic system can be implemented such that upon check-in at Cornell Health, a healthcare provider or someone behind the desk at Cornell Health can ask upon checking a person in if they want updates to be sent to their professors, just stating that they checked in at Cornell Health and not stating anything as to why they were checked in at Cornell Health, making it opt-in and thus compliant with HIPAA. Further with this possible implementation model, You could have the notification to professors be held until the student chooses which professors are to be notified, which could be done on a web page where you would log in with your official Cornell information, somewhat like the daily check system that we currently have, then choose the professors to be updated, and even choose not to update any professors if at that point you want to change your mind and opt out. But again, this is just to establish a basic line of trust. When students are asking for accommodations for medical reasons, just to show the professor proof that yes, the student was checked in at Cornell Health.
Great. Christopher, thank you so much for coming to our meeting today and for presenting your resolution on behalf of Representative Castillo. And also thank you to the work of your committee. We appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions or comments or feedback for on this resolution? Please raise your hand if so. Okay, there's been a motion to vote. Thank you.
Second.
There's been a second. Is there any objection? Alrighty, so we're going to move into voting. Please just raise your hand if you're voting in favor of this resolution. If you're abstaining, message me privately. I'll ask for votes against if this does not pass. All right, I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That is 20 votes in favor. I believe that's 20 to 0 to 2, I believe, or 20 to 0 to 1 at this point. Great. Christopher, Carlo, thank you so much for bringing this resolution to the floor. I appreciate your hard work. Okay, and congratulations. Moving forward to Resolution 51, donation of the SHAC funds to the Cornell Student Access Fund. Co-sponsors, please feel free to unmute yourself and present your resolution.
Hello, so this is a pretty straightforward resolution. I don't even think I need to share my screen really. For those of you that don't know what the Cornell Access Fund is, it's basically a fund that gives students that apply $500 to use for things that Cornell hasn't covered for them and that they aren't able to with their own financial feasibilities. And we haven't spent any of the SHAC fund this semester due to COVID restrictions, and we couldn't really plan public things. Usually we would give stuff out and things like that, but we couldn't do that. So we have $750 left over, and we're just going to move those funds and donate them to the Cornell Access Fund to fund some student initiatives or anything like that. And I feel like it's a pretty straightforward resolution. We could move forward with a unanimous vote as well.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there a second? So Sam second. Thank you. Thank you. There's been a second to approving this resolution by unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Seeing as there's no objection, this resolution has been approved. Sam, thank you to your committee for making this donation. It's very much appreciated. I believe we have two agenda items left still, which are the ones that were added today. So the first one should be Andrea's resolution. If you want to re-present it, it was a lighting one, but I'm not sure if we have the links available. If you're still here, I can't see you.
That's fine. I don't think I need to represent, like, everyone has like a whole time, but I just want to move it forward before the summer.
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to hear you very well. I think you're cutting out a tiny bit, or you're a bit muffled. I'm not sure what you were saying.
Can you hear me?
A little bit muffled.
I was saying that I don't think I needed to represent. If anyone has any questions, sure, but I just wanted to move it forward before the summer.
Okay, sure. Great, thank you. So we're currently discussing the resolution. We can discuss it or we can move forward with the vote. There has been a hand. Layla, please state your question or your comment.
What resolution is that?
I believe this is the resolution that has to do with lighting. I'm not sure the exact. Okay. I'm not sure what the exact number is. If someone could find that, please let me know.
Yeah, it's the one about lighting. I spoke to Lombardi, and he did, like, we thought that it'd be best to move it along before the summer so that the administration can, like, talk about it before.
Okay. Lucas just sent me the link to the resolution. Thank you, Lucas. Appreciate it. Okay. So I put the link in the chat for folks to read it. I'm going to give a little bit of time. Otherwise, we'll likely be on some kind of motion. Then after this, we only have one more resolution, and then we should be done by 6:30, as we usually are.
Motion to vote.
Okay. So there's been a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Great. Please raise your hands if you're voting in favor of this resolution. I'm going to close voting in 10 seconds. And if you're not voting, I'm just going to assume that's an abstention, all right? Okay, so that's 18 votes in favor. I believe that's 18 to 0 to 3, maybe. So Andrea, thank you. Your resolution has passed. And then I believe we just have the last resolution from our Vice President of Finance, Uche.
Yeah, so it's a really short resolution. We have an organization, Alpha Chapter of Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated, requested $2,500. And this is in light of, you know, recently we had the Miss Black and Gold Scholarship pageant, but a big part of that pageant is a community engagement aspect. So over the next 2 weeks, we're looking to, chapter's looking to put together community service events that are looking to uplift Black community. One of them that we're looking into doing is doing some a memorial garden outside of Ooch for a couple of reasons, as well as other different community engagement projects as well, too. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. The amount is $2,500. It was approved through the Appropriations Committee, and so I have to bring it to the full SA to get approved.
Great. Thank you so much, UJ. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we move into a vote? Is there a motion to vote?
Motion to vote.
Is there a second? There's been a second. All right, please raise your hands if you're voting in favor of this resolution. We're going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I believe that is 19 to 0 to 2 votes in favor. So your resolution has passed. Thank you, Uche. Seeing as the time is now 6:24, we're approaching the end of our meeting time together. I think that's all of our items on the agenda. So Uche, sorry, do you have something to say?
I wanted to just, like, I guess, ask, like, a quick question. There were some changes to the charter that needed to be made in light of, like the bi-month funding semester next semester, just some things that need to be updated. Would folks be okay with, like, doing an email, like, vote or for to officiate, like, the changes made in the charter or okay. I didn't think that we would need, like, an extra meeting for it, but kind of just wanted to put it out there.
Good. I see some nods. And yes, so for outstanding resolutions that are very important, such as charter changes, then we'll proceed with an email vote. Our terms do end pretty soon. So thank you for making sure that we get that in for the end of our term. Wendy, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I see your note in the chat, and it is very kind and much appreciated. All right. So, seeing as we have no other agenda items, I want to, like, welcome the new assembly in. This is what SA meetings are like sometimes. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're very boring. But welcome. Congratulations. I will be looking favorably upon one last motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second? Is there any objection?
Second.
All righty. Woo! Congrats.
Thank you, God.
Have a wonderful end of the year. Goodbye, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.